We say in Kiddusha, Nekadesh Hashem Chabaolam, that we sanctify your name, Hashem, in this world, Kishem Shemakdish Shematop Shmei Maram, the same way the angels do in heaven, Kakatuv Aya Neviyecha, just as our Neviim, our prophets, had told us that the angels praise you. The Kara Ze'elzev Yamar, they say to one another, calling out the following, Kadosh, 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 holy, 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 Hashem Tzvakos, Hashem, master of the legions, Malokala Arts Kivodo, the whole world is filled with his glory. And then we continue and say, Lu'umasam Baruch Yomeru, that those facing facing them, meaning that there are angels that respond to the statement of Kadosh, 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 that how holy is God, by saying Baruch Kivod Adonai Mimkomo, that God's is praised and exalted from his place. Udrei Kodeshecha Katuv Lemor, and again quoting from the Navi, that this is what it says in your Ksuvim, meaning this is what it says in Tehillim, that Yimloch along these themes, Yimloch Adonai Leolam, that God's kingship is forever. Elohayich Tzion Lador Vador, hallelujah, that God's kingship is forever in Yerushalayim from generation to generation. So that is that's the paragraph of Kedusha. So basically what Kedusha is a summation of the way the angels praise God, and that we are trying to praise God the same way that the angels are praising God. And that's what Rabbi Yonasan Eibchitz writes. He says that it's a shame that we just kind of run through this prayer, being that it is so dense. There is so much to unpack here. And it's upon us then to properly unweave it and understand it. The Reb Chaim Freelander writes in his Sifsei Chaim, he writes that aleinu lelamed mehem, lomod mehem, we need to learn from the angels in the way that they praise God. Echein nagishem lekdusha, how it is they come close to God in holiness. So with this in mind, let's try and address that. Let's try and I think by doing so, we'll be able to better appreciate what the angels are doing in the way that they praise God. Let's try and understand how it is the angels are praising him. And by doing so, we can learn how to become more kadosh, more holy. So why is it that we,
when we're doing it individually, we couldn't do that? Why does this have to be done as a separate thing only during
we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Yeah, hold on to that thought. We'll make sure to address that at the end. But it starts like this. We're going to come about it from a little bit of a different angle over here. Okay? We know that there is a great gift of Hashem, of Teshuvah. It's one of the greatest gifts that we have, is the ability to have a fresh start. This gift of Teshuvah, unfortunately, really is... We're just more focused on it during certain times of the year, like Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, maybe Yom Tovim. But in reality, this is something that we are supposed to be focused on every single day. In fact, we know that one of the brachas of the Shemona Esrei, we're going to explain soon, in a few weeks, we'll explain, God willing, the bracha of Hashivinu, Avinu Sarasecha, the bracha of Teshuvah, right? Teshuvah is something that we're supposed to be engaging in on a daily basis. In fact, the Rabbeinu Yonah writes this exactly. Rabbeinu Yonah writes, he says we have a mitzvah to do Teshuvah, a mitzvah aseh al Teshuvah, shenechapes tachinu v'nachkorah v'nashuvah al Hashem. We have a mitzvah of doing Teshuvah b'yom HaKippurim. Of course, on Yom Kippur. But in reality, he writes, there's an obligation all the time. Really, we have an obligation to do this all the time. There's a special obligation to do this on Yom Kippur. Similarly, how there's a special obligation on Pesach to eat matzah, and there's a special obligation on Sukkot to take lulav and esrog and sit in the sukkah. On Yom Kippur, the special obligation of Yom Kippur is to make sure today we do teshuvah, but this is really something we have to do all the time. right? Teshuva is something that applies every single day. But for sure, as we mentioned, Yom Kippur is there is a focus to make sure that we do teshuva. Now, what does teshuva look like? So it depends. If teshuva is about mistakes I've made between me and my relationship with God, so then teshuva is a fairly straightforward process of that I need to recognize the mistake that I made. I need to regret the mistake that I made resolve that I'm not going to act this way again, right? And then the Rambam, of course, includes that you also need to verbalize this to Hashem. That's called food. Okay, so this is the mitzvah of teshuva. That's pretty straightforward when it's dealing with me and God. When it comes to me and other people, though, mistakes I made to others, which is the second half of the luchos, right? That's the other major part of all of mitzvos, right? There's one part, major part of mitzvos, which is mitzvos between me and Hashem, and the other half of mitzvos have to do with me and other people. With regards to those mitzvos, the Mishnah tells us in Bava Kamma that there's an additional caveat over here, which is that you need to ask for forgiveness and that the person needs to forgive you. If that is accomplished, so then a person has achieved full teshuva. Being that Yom Kippur is the day where we are obligated, every day of the year, as we mentioned, we're obligated to teshuva, but in Yom Kippur, we're doubly obligated to teshuva. That means that on Yom Kippur, every single person should be having a sense of that my relationship with God is in a clean slate and that my relationship with other people as well has a clean slate. And if I do that, I accomplish that. So then I've done the full teshuva that is required of me on Yom Kippur. Now, of course, that's really a model for every day of the year. Every day we should have the sense of that I have this clean slate with every single person. We should never, God forbid, hold grudges, and hopefully nobody holds grudges against us, that every day, in fact, every time before we go to sleep, in Kriya Shema Lamita, there's a paragraph that we say, that Harini Mochel, I'm forgiving anybody that has harmed me in any sort of way, that I don't want that I hold grudges against anybody, that if anybody feels as though I've done something to hurt them, that this should, you know, or that they've hurt me, we're just starting fresh tomorrow, okay? In fact, we say this in the Yom Kippur service. In the Yom Kippur service is a paragraph that's tucked away in the long repetition of Musaf. There's a paragraph tucked away that actually describes succinctly what it is we're trying to accomplish on Yom Kippur. And the our sages write the following. It says, "Aval avonos avosenu hechrevu naveh," that unfortunately we can't bring the karbanos in the Beis Hamikdash on Yom Kippur, which of course are brought in order for the Jewish people to achieve slichu mechila, to achieve a clean slate on Yom Kippur. But we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, so what do we do? Nevertheless, doesn't mean that we still can't do teshuva. This is what the rabbis write. They say, about zichron dvarim tiet slichatenu. The fact that we're doing teshuva should be our schila, our forgiveness, the inoy nafshenu tiek kafaratenu, and that us inflicting ourselves by not eating and drinking, the types of clothing that we're wearing, not wearing leather shoes, that is going to be a form of our kapara. Al kain, therefore, bracha mecha rabin. So because of this, Hashem, you gave us a special day, natata lanu es yom tzom hakipur mazeh, you gave us this day of Yom Kippur. Ves yom mechilas ha'avon hazeh, the day where we can have this fresh start. We're able to access it more on Yom Kippur than every day of the year. And I reiterate again, although this applies every single day of the year. And then we describe the day. It's Yom. What is the definition of Yom Kippur? We're going to try and summarize. What is Yom Kippur? It's the following. It's Yom, that is Aser B'Achila, that we don't eat. Yom Aser B'Shtia, a day we don't drink. Yom Aser B'Rechitza, a day we don't bathe. Yom Aser Besicha, a day we don't anoint ourselves. Yom Aser B'Tashres Amita, a day that we are not allowed to have marital relations. And also Yom Aser B'Nias HaSandal, and a day that we don't wear regular shoes. And then we add on one more. Yom Simas Ahava V'Reyes. It's the day of brotherly love. It's a day of love among the Jewish people. Yom Azivas Kina V'Tachras is a day that we totally eradicate all jealousy and competition from one another. That's amazing. This is from the Machzor. This is from the repetition the Musa on Yom Kippur. That if we, so it's funny, like that, that's something, if you were trying to describe what Yom Kippur is, you wouldn't necessarily think to describe it as a day of everybody just getting along. That's not necessarily the way that you would describe the day. You describe the day, you're not allowed to eat and drink and that, you know, all the things you're not allowed to do. But we forget about the fact that this is a major, this is the second half, right? Those other things we do with regards to my relationship with Hashem, but with regards to my relationships with other people, which is the other half of all the mitzvos, unless there is a real sense of love and camaraderie amongst the Jewish people, we're not going to achieve the full kapara, the full atonement that Yom Kippur can provide, or really teshuva in general, that teshuva in general can provide. The altar of Kelm actually writes, he says that he gave this in a lecture once. Rav Simcha Zissel Broida, he was one of the three main students of Rabbi Saul Salanter. Saul Salanter is the founder of the Musar movement, where he established the Musar movement in 1858, a revolutionary idea of including into the structure of a yeshiva study of character development, in addition to the study of Torah, but also studying the what Torah expects of a person in terms of their development of character. He had three major disciples. The three major disciples he had was Rav Naftali Amsterdam, who was a major Talmud Chacham. He also had pre Yitzchak, Rav Itzla Blaser, who was considered the greatest genius of all of them. And his third student was Rav Simcha Zissel Breide, who became the altar of Kelm, the great Musar, one of the great Musar minds of Europe. So once in a lecture he was giving before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, he said, Chov Aleinu, that it's incumbent upon us, Kodem Yom Hadin Haba Aleinu L'tova, before Rosh Hashanah, before Yom Kippur, L'kambal Al Atzmenu, to accept upon ourselves, La'asok B'kol Hashanah, to be involved throughout the year, B'mitzvat Aseh, in the positive commandment of, this is what we need to accept upon ourselves before we can walk into the day of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Because otherwise the teshuva is just totally unfounded. It's just not going to last. It's incomplete, totally, totally incomplete, unless we're resolving to accept upon ourselves this obligation of Yahavtu Lecha Kamocha. U'bezeh yi'achdus bein avdei Hashem Misparach. And then you'll be able to have a camaraderie, a brotherhood, a oneness, a unity amongst the servants of Hashem. And then we'll be able to accept Hashem as our king. Then he says, if God forbid it's the other way, if we're not going to do this, so then the entire day of Yom Kippur, we're just going to be lying to God, right? Of talking about how we want a fresh start, we want to do things right, we want to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. It's all just going to be a fallacy if we aren't underpinning all of that with, I'm resolving to do V'yahavta Lecha Kamocha properly. That is, those words are bone chilling, where that the entire day of Yom Kippur would just be a lie to Hashem, would be lying blatantly to God if it didn't come with, if it wasn't coupled with, if it didn't have the underpinnings and the foundation of that I'm resolving to treat my fellow Jew properly. Because otherwise, every time you say that to Hashem, that please forgive me for the mistakes I've made and the way that I've treated other people, it's meaningless. Unless I truly feel that I've wronged people and that I need to improve my relationships. And then he concludes by saying, Harachaman, that Hashem, please, in your mercy, Yatzilenu, that save us, and v'nekabal atzmenu, and that we should do our part in accepting upon ourselves, esik avos habrios v'achdos, to promptly accept upon ourselves this mitzvah of Yahavtu Lecha Kamocha, to create unity, love, and camaraderie amongst the Jewish people. Why are we talking about all of this with regards to Kedusha and how we can become more holy. Because what are we saying? That we're trying to learn from the angels how to become more holy. We know that on Yom Kippur, we're considered to be like angels, right? The Torah points out, how is it that we're considered like angels on Yom Kippur? So listen to this comment that's made by the Torah. The Torah, this is how he introduces the laws of Teshuvah. And he writes, Yitin kol adam el libo, the Erev Yom Kippur, that a person needs to decide on Erev Yom Kippur, lefayis kol mi shepasha kenegdo, that I forgive anyone that's wronged me. This is what I need to make sure I make a decision on Erev Yom Kippur. I hold zero grudges. I completely forgive anyone that has ever tried to harm me. Because when it comes to just the prohibitions between me and God, Yom Kippur mechaper, that the Atzumo Shel Yom, the day of Yom Kippur itself, is going to resolve me of those sins and mistakes I've made. However, but when it comes to me and others, in Yom Kippur mechaper achi yisfaisu, Yom Kippur is not going to help anything until I have resolved those relationships. I've fixed those issues between myself and others. And then he quotes from the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. As Isid Perik Memvav Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer points out the following: Ra Samael, that Samael the Satan, he saw Shalonim Sachit Yisrael B'Yom Kippurim, that he noticed that on Yom Kippur the Jewish people don't have any chait. There's no sin. They're totally clean. They're fresh. They're new. Fresh start. The Omer, and he said, Ta Hashem, Rabbono Olam, Yeshra Am Echad Be'eretz Kimachalei Hasharetz, that I have nothing. I can't do anything to these people. They're like angels. The same way that the Satan can't impact angels, so the Satan, whatever that means, can't get us on Yom Kippur, because we are like angels on Yom Kippur. How is it that we're like angels? So he says that just like angels, Mamachalei Hasharetz, Yichve Regel, that they only have one leg. If you saw Yichvu Regel B'Yom Kippur, it's like we have only one leg on Yom Kippur because we're standing the whole day with our feet together in reverence praying. Malachi Hasharetz, just as ministering angels in the Kifatzim, if you saw in them Kifatzim, but Omnir Raglam B'Yom Kippur, that they're just standing and they're so focused on spirituality today. Ma Malachi Hasharetz, Nikayim, just as angels don't sin, so so to the Jewish people on Yom Kippur have no sin. And then shalom b'neim, just as machale asharis, the angels have achdus, they have shalom, they have peace, they have brother, they have connection. So too, kach Yisrael b'yom Kippur, so to the Jewish people on Yom Kippur, we are at our best when we have achdus. And if we don't have achdus, so there isn't what for us to learn from the Mahalei Hasharetz. We actually say this not only during the Kedusha, which we say in the repetition of the Shemoneh Esrei, we actually say this, we learn this lesson every single time that we say the Shema. When we say the Shema, the Mishnah tells us in Brachos on Daf Yud Gimel that the mitzvah is an acceptance of the yoke of heaven. It's Kabbalos Omachos Shemaim, meaning that I'm accepting among myself Hashem, accepting among myself the servitude of God, following in his path and adherence to his mitzvos, Torah mitzvos. That is what I do when I have to think about every single time I recite the Shema. In fact, Revolbe, I think we've mentioned this before, Revolbe would challenge his students by saying, I heard this from Rabbi Zion Cook, his nephew, that he would challenge his students by saying, do you ever hesitate before you say the Shema? I didn't hesitate before you say the Shema. It seems a bit ridiculous. He'd say, what do you mean? That if we truly believe that you're making a commitment when you say the Shema, well, before every other heavy commitment, big commitment, you hesitate a little bit before signing a real estate deal, before getting married, before whatever, big commitments, you think twice before you do it. This should be no different. If you're serious about the commitment, you should really consider it before you're making the commitment. That's really what Shema is. It's a real commitment to Hashem, his Torah and mitzvos, following the ways of Hashem, and you're committing yourself to that. So the rabbis instituted the blessings of the Shema to help guide exactly that. The first blessing before we say the Shema that we make is Yotzer HaMe'orot, that God as the creator of the world, and really all of the first blessing before we say the Shema are all centered and themed around that. God is the creator, the way that the world functions, the way the universe functions in the lower world, in the upper world. And it's a very rather mystical in a sense, Kabbalistic in a sense, and also relatable in a sense, as God is our creator, considering that concept. And number two is the fact that God gave us the Torah, this guide for life. Through the Torah, the greatest act of love that God had ever done for the Jewish people is by giving us the Torah. These two themes, if we focus on these two ideas, God is the creator and God is the giver of the Torah, then we'll have an easier time accepting upon ourselves this commitment to Hashem, His Torah, His mitzvahs, following the ways of God. So that is the structure of the Shema and what we lead up to the Shema, which is probably what we'll do when we finish in who knows how long, years from now. The Shemona Esrei will go backwards and start looking at the Shema, the blessings of the Shema, etc. There's a paragraph that's tucked into the blessings of the Shema that tell us this lesson about the Achdus, the unity that exists among the angels. And in fact, without that unity, they are unable to have a commitment to the ways of Hashem, meaning that angels can't fulfill their mission in this world without having an Achdus among each other. Meaning, if Raphael doesn't see the value of Michael, and Michael doesn't see the value of Gavriel, and Gavriel doesn't see the value of Ariel, then there is no way for any of the angels to accomplish the things that they need to accomplish. This is what we say. If you want to look in the Siddur, it's on page 86. In the second paragraph on page 86, Tisparach Tzurenu, we say Tisparach Tzurenu Malkeinu V'Goalenu, that may you be blessed, our rock, our king, our redeemer, Borei Kedoshim, the creator of holy ones, which is referring to both us and the angels. Yishtabach Shemcha La'ad Malkeinu, that may your name be blessed forever, our king. Yotzer Misharsim, he's the one that formed ministering angels. V'asher Misharsav Kulam Omdim Berum Olam. And these ministering angels all stand at the Rum Olam, the pinnacle of the universe, and they proclaim Yachad, together. Omdim Berum Olam, Ashmiyim Birira Yachad, Bekol Devrei Elokim Chaim Umelech Olam. They proclaim with awe, together, in unity, loudly, with the words of Hashem. Kulam Ahuvim, they all are beloved. Kulam Berurim, right? So we're thinking, we're basically giving praise of God over this creation of angels that He created. And now we're describing the angels. Kulam Giborim, they're all strong. Kulam Osim Be'em Rira Ritzon Ponam, they all do exactly what God desires with reverence and awe. Kulam Poschim, and all of, and they all, this is two lines from the bottom of the paragraph. Kulam poschim espiem b'kedusha v'tahara. They all open up their proverbial mouths in holiness and purity. B'shira v'zimra, with song. U'mevarchim u'mshapchim u'farim u'maritzim u'makdishim u'mamlichim. They all praise and bless and glorify and declare kingship of, next paragraph, et shem ha'el ha'melech ha'gadol ha'yibur v'anora kadoshu, about God, the great, mighty, awesome King, the Holy One. And now look at, this is the key line here. The Chulam, and they all, once they've done this, are able to, Mekablim Alehem, they're able to accept upon themselves, all Malchut Shemayim, the, this commitment, the same way we're trying to do, to follow the ways of Hashem and do exactly as Hashem requires. Zeh Mizeh, how is it that they accept the kingship of God? By looking towards one another, meaning that we're going to do this as a unit. If Michael just does this alone, he's not going to be able to do his job. Again, this is very Kabbalistic, right? So we're not going to get into the trying to get into the details of explaining this, but at least on a surface level to understand that Michael won't do what he is assigned to do unless Gavriel, Raphael, Ariel, and all the other angels also are ready to do what they need to do. You see that level of unity? It's unbelievable that it's impossible for the angels to do the things they need to do unless there is a sense of unity among all of them. And in fact, this phrase that we say in the Kedusha, keep reading over here. We say in the Kedusha, this is just the last line before the bold. We say that they say in a beautiful voice, Kedusha kulam be'echad onim. They all as one proclaim. The Omer Be'ira, and they proclaim with awe, Kadosh, 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 which is what we say in the Kedusha. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Hashem Tzvalkos Molchal Arts Kevodo. The angels give this praise of God. Holy, holy, holy is God of legions, and the whole world is filled with his glory. They can only give that praise as a unit, not as individuals. That is what we are supposed to emulate. When we're saying we're trying to learn from the angels, it starts with, as we pointed out from the tour, which is what makes us like angels in Yom Kippur, it starts with a unity that I care about my fellow Jew. That if I care about my fellow Jew, then I can become more kadosh. So that's what the way we defined Kedusha last week, right? The way we defined Kedusha last week was that modeling after God. What is God? God is everything he does is selfless. It's just for others. I feel that real sense of care and concern for another person, to the point that I may even possibly get to a point where I truly am doing this in a selfless manner. Because I really just care about the other person. That's the way that the angels are. And that's what we're trying to emulate. So in Kedusha, when we're trying to emulate this, what we're essentially doing is we're saying, back on page 100, right? We say, Nekadesh Shem Kaba Olam, that we sanctify your name in the world, Kishem in the same way, Shemakdish Maso B'Shmei Marom, the same way that the angels do it. Well, the angels do it with Achdus. The only way they do it. It's an amazing lesson that's pulled out from Kedusha over here. Amazing lesson. This, I think, perhaps is why, to answer Noah's question before, why is it that we only say this in a minyan? Why is it? Because when we're on our own and we're just saying the Shemona Esrei and we're saying we want to emulate Hashem through Kedusha, right? That's I have a personal responsibility to do that. In a minyan, though, we're able to take it to the next step, which is emulating exactly the way that the angels do it, which is with real achdus, because I'm in a group with other people, I'm looking at other people, and therefore I'm able to emulate the angels further with this definition of Kedusha, which means a real care and concern for another person. In fact, the Maharal points out that's why davening with a minyan is so significant. That's why davening with a minyan is so significant, because davening with a minyan creates a compounded form of prayer, which is an exponentially compounded form of prayer, which is that the way he describes it is like this, that when I'm praying alone by myself, so I'm left to basically alone. I'm left to just pray for whatever's on my mind, and that whatever it is that the things I need and I'm asking Hashem to help me with, I'm praying for them alone. If there is even just one other person there and they're praying with me, so then essentially what happens is that, okay, they're praying for their things, I'm praying for my things. But when I see them there, even for just a split moment, and hopefully it's more than just a split moment, I think to myself, I hope that those persons' tefillos are being answered. So what just happened? Everything they're davening for just got compounded double. It's what he's davening for squared. Now add a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth person. Now what is happening is that every single tefillah is to the exponent of 10. At minimum, to the exponent of 10. Which is why we also have a concept of Barova Amahadus Melech. The larger the minion, the greater it is. Is because then it doesn't just go to 10, but that gets expounded even more. To an infinite level that people are just praying for each other. That's why, says Maral, davening with a minyan is so important, is because my tefillah will be exponentially greater to the 10th degree at minimum when I have a minyan I'm davening with. That's why I think we're only saying Kedusha when we have a minyan. Because the whole purpose of Kedusha is to emulate the way the angels do this, which is emulating our God through true aftus, through true aftus. We'll just conclude with a medrash that is, to me, it evokes a tremendous amount of emotion, this medrash. It's a from the Talmud Be'elyo, in Parachof Ches, chapter 28, where, you know, one of my favorite quotes is from Ben Franklin, that if I had more time, I would have written you a shorter letter. And it's Ben Franklin. So this is the short letter of the Torah. Basically, it's Tanit Be'elyo, Perek Chaf Ches, chapter 28, Tanit Be'elyo, where the Braisa gives us the shortened version of basically everything Hashem expects of us. This is what it says. Kach Amar Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what Hashem says to the Jews. Bini Ahuvi, my beloved children. Klum chasarti davar sheka shevakesh mikem. There is very little. There is nothing that I lack, and therefore I don't need anything from that. Hashem has everything. So I ask of nothing. All I ask is the following. Umani mevakesh mikem. What is it that I ask? Ela shtiu ahuvin ze'etze. To just love one another. To mechabdin ze'etze. Give honor and respect to one another, to Yireim Zemize, have reverence, revere one another. That's it. That's it. That's the short letter of the Torah. It's all Hashem expects of us. When we say Kedusha, that is the major declaration we're saying to Hashem, is that we're saying we are going to praise you the same way that the angels do. I think that with this in mind, we can understand a Gemara in Masechet Chulin. The Gemara in Masechet Chulin and Daf Tzadi Alchem Beis 91b writes the following. It says, "Chaviv in Yisrael lifnei Baruch Hu Yoser Malachi Asharitz." That Hashem loves even more than the praises of angels, the praise of the Jewish people. How do we know this? The Yisrael Maskir and Hashem, because when is it that the Jewish people? When the Jewish people say the name of God, it is introduced by only two words. Shtei tevos. Maskiran es Hashem acher shtei tevos. Shnei amar, as the pasuk says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That it only took us two words to tee up us being able to give proper praise of God, to be able to utter God's name. All we needed to do was tee it up with just two words. Shema Yisrael, and then we're able to utter the name of God. However, when it comes to Malachi Asharis, when it comes to ministering angels, Ein Maskir and Hashem Ela La'acher Shalosh Tevos, are only able to utter the name of God after three words of introduction. Where do we see that? The Pasuk Nishai that we quote in Kedusha, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvachos Malach Alaris Kedusha, that they only are able to utter the name of God after they've introduced it with three words, three utterances of Kadosh, 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 Holy, 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 then they're able to utter the name of God. But we are able to do it only after two. Why is it that God is willing for the, if not only willing, but actually loves the fact that the Jewish people are able to access this more so than the angels are able to? Or rather, we'll flip the question a little bit, which is that how is it that the Jewish people are able to give praise of God in a seemingly more exalted manner than even the angels can? So I think with everything we just said, we can give the answer, which is that for the angels, which we believe, Chaim V'Lajner writes this, is angels don't have free will. They don't have free choice, right? Meaning, we said before that they look to one another to make sure that they have a unity before they say, okay, so that's on a Kabbalistic level. Exactly what that means is hard to understand. But, and something, of course, for us to model that sense of unity like we were talking about before. But bottom line, did they act on free will to do that? No. They're doing exactly what God demands of them. Now, God demands that they do this before they praise him, right? But ultimately, they're not acting on free will. We, though, have to deal with our free will, and we have to deal with our Yetzirah, and we have to deal with our sense of pride and our of being stubborn and not wanting to forgive one another and holding on to grudges. And we get over that, and by after we get over that and we promptly forgive one another and we have a true sense of camaraderie amongst each other, it doesn't take more than just saying Shema Yisrael, being able to utter Hashem's name, that we have access to Hashem in a higher level than even the angels can, because we are doing it with a struggle, having to overcome a Yetzirah through a growth. And by doing so, we're able to achieve a tremendous heights, even greater than that which the angels are able to achieve. So that is, I think, the overarching lesson for us to pull out of paragraph, this tefillah, this praise of God through Kedusha. What we're trying to do is model for ourselves from the angels what we are supposed to do, which is give praise of God stemming from a place of unity. By doing so, we ourselves are able to achieve heights of holiness, perhaps even greater than that of the angels. Okay, let's stop here.
So Rabbi, I know in the Shmona